League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Okay, Tim, good to go when you are.
Cue the music.
This is just a guide to modern life. Modern life is hard to get just right. It can frustrate you and annoy. And if it does, right into dear Lovejoy.
Welcome to the Dear Lovejoy podcast. Today we're opening up our mailbag. Basically, we've had so many emails in that we thought we'd read them all out today. Remember, if you are taking advice off me, though, you are taking advice off a TV presenter. And that really is a poor idea. Mark is here too. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Tim. Hi, everyone.
Still on the greasy coffee diet?
Yes, thank you, Tim. Nothing's changed. New year, but no new resolutions.
Working for you still?
Yes, and this week I started... what did I start? I started... high intensity training, but running instead of cycling.
Oh, cool. Where, in the park or in a gym or what?
Very, very early in the morning, so it's very, very pitch black and no one can see me.
Why are you worried about people seeing you run? It's a very natural thing to do.
I do look a bit of a sight when I run. My friends, when I used to play football, called me the traction engine because of my...
Yeah, I went out with a girl once who said that she used to get embarrassed running and that... she wouldn't go for a run because she'd have embarrassed people. Look at how can you be embarrassed running? It's just a really natural thing. I suppose I'm embarrassed dancing in front of people. Well, I'm not embarrassed.
I'm not embarrassed. It's just, I think it's better for other people. They don't see me.
Why? It's got to do with them. Anyway, I'm trying a new diet. I've only started. I've been on it for a few days. Well, nearly 5 days now. It's the carnivore diet.
Right.
I listened to too many podcasts like you, Mark, and I was listening to a podcast where a guy went on a pure carnivore diet. And I've got a few...
Explain.
Just meat, red meat.
Just red meat.
Well, I've changed it a bit because I can't just do red meat, but I've just protein, basically. I'm eating just huge sums of protein.
It's not that dissimilar to mine, then.
Yeah, but the reason why I'm doing it is because I listened to the podcast and the guy was saying, oh, it cures a lot of illnesses. Now, I've got a bit of a problem with my knee. I've got a sore knee and I've had an MRI scan on it. Not that I want to bang on that. I've had a back operation.
Oh, I don't remember. When was that?
Yeah, but I've got a poor knee and the doctor said that it should just heal itself and it didn't seem to be healing that well. So I decided that after listening to this podcast, I decided that it just made sense that I put... pure protein in my body, right. Massive amounts of it, so I can try and heal it. I don't want to tempt fate, but it seems to be the best it's felt in a long time.
Really?
So
5 days, that's sort of miraculous almost.
Yeah, but maybe I wasn't getting enough protein. I'm quite careful about what I eat. So I'm just like, I'm absolutely stuffing as much protein in me as possible. And I'm going to do it for 2 weeks. And then if it works, I might go on for a month and then revert back to what I normally do.
It's normally a month you give yourself on those sort of things, isn't it?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I've never done it before. But the thing is, it's not physically I'm struggling with it, even though just constantly eating red meat, it's hard work.
But, oh, it's the best.
But it's mentally, because I've been told all my life that it's not good for me. This guy, by the way, who's on these diets says it's brilliant for you.
Yeah.
But I mean...
I love it.
There's so many different varying opinions at the moment. I don't want to take a side. There's a huge war going on at the moment between vegans and meat eaters. And I just want to sit in... Like everything, there's a huge war going on between the left and the right. There's a huge war going on between everyone. People who say, we're going PC, man. People who don't want to, who want more PC sort of thing. It's like there's wars everywhere. And I just want to sit in the middle of it all.
That's because everybody. Observe. That's because everybody needs...
a war.
No, everyone needs a bit of what's the word? You know, some
aggression.
No, the kind of, you know, something to belong to. So yeah,
movement.
Yeah, so you know that kind of thing.
So you got the meat eating movement on one side, and you've got the vegan movement on the other side. Yeah, I don't care. I don't care what you do. It's up to you. If you want to be vegan, you can be vegan. If you want to eat meat. I don't care what you do.
Morally, probably the vegans are on the right side, I would say. But there you go.
Animal welfare.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I don't want to get involved in that argument, but there's so many different varying views on all these sort of things that I just, it's a minefield out there, but the meat eaters have their own views on it and the vegans have their own views. I'm just going to sit in the middle. I never chose a religion.
But you look well.
Thank you very much.
You look well and you well, feel like you're a bit more sprightly when I came in today.
If I can get my knee working, then I'll let you know, but I don't know. Is it going to work? Who knows?
Then we can have that running match that we keep promising ourselves. I still think I'm going to win.
Not over a long distance, you're not. Right, let's get on with the letters. We got loads here, so we're just going to try and get through as many as we can. Thank you, everyone, by the way, for writing into us. It's really nice to get all the feedback. Hi, Tim, Mark. Happy New Year. Tim, I just wanted to let you know that I had dinner with a friend over Christmas and found that she was faced with a couple of difficult situations and she didn't know what to do for the best. She was caught up with if I do this, it'll hurt X, but if I do that, it'll upset Y dilemma. I listened to her and thought about two sage pieces of advice from you, Tim, that you've given me this year. Never make someone a priority when all you are to them is an option. Yeah, I stole that, though. But yeah, it is.
Who
good
from?
But I can't remember now. It was some peace activist or something, wasn't it? Or some...
Right.
Someone who... It was some author. I can't remember now. Someone... I don't know.
Alan Titchmarsh, was it?
But no. I don't know. But it's a good one. Never make someone a priority when all you are to them is an option. And then be the lead star in your own movie. That one comes up a lot. And I I sort of felt like I did it, but I'm reading it a lot now. So I'm not sure, because unless people have been listening to this podcast, I doubt it. But I think a lot of people say that. You've got your story. You've got your movie. It's kind of the best advice that I've ever had. And now if people annoy me, I always think, oh, you get on with your movie. That's how I think about it now. I'll stick with my movie. You get on with your movie. I don't need any interaction with you in your movie.
I'd love it if you said that out loud to someone.
Yeah. You know,
someone annoys you on a train. Oh, just get on with your own movie.
But I also think when people get busy with your life, one of the greatest things to do is to say to them, which someone said to me years ago when I was a teenager and it really bugged me. They went, stop trying to live my life for me and get me your own. And it just really annoyed me.
Well, no, because you're embarrassed. Did you get like red-faced embarrassment feeling?
So, what, me?
Yeah.
No. I loved it because somebody was just, I was just getting busy with somebody and it was a great put down. Anyway, let everyone get on with their own movies. Anyway, Tracy goes on to say, I relay both to her in context, and then after a period of reflection, she knew exactly what she needed to do. She thanked me and has since followed up to say that she really had really needed to hear that advice, and that it helped her really turn things around. I think life's pretty simple, actually. We just make it complicated, overthinking things. I mean, take my advice, do nothing on everything. That's the best piece of advice I'll ever give you. If you're ever worried about anything, just do nothing. Anyway,
unless it's a tax return, then really do that by the 31st of January.
Definitely do your tax returns. Yeah, but that's to do with work. And as I always say to you, work is a game. So you've got to get involved
in
the game.
Yeah, but those rules are pretty hard and fast.
Yeah, it's not real life. It's a game. You have to play the game. But in real life, do nothing. Right. Keep up the great work, guys. You're so good at what you do. I've started a notebook to collect your key advice and often refer back to it. Luckily, I'm not a smoker, though. Yeah, good advice I've got on cigarettes, as always, which is if you don't want to smoke, don't stick another one in your gob. This comes from Claire. I've just listened to your podcast with Dr. Robert Holden. I lost my best friend to pancreatic cancer in August. She was 43. She has two beautiful boys, and her youngest had brain cancer when he was 2. He's in remission now, so sorry, I'm rambling. Pancreatic cancer's that's what my brother died of. It's a real bitch, that cancer, because it happens generally to people who are older. It's not very many signs that it's pancreatic cancer. And by the time you do get it, which is stomach aches and things, it's usually too late. I've been told by a cancer specialist, actually, that the actual cancer is quite easy to kill. It's just they can't get to it.
Oh, right.
And the only way to deal with pancreatic cancer is...
Proper operation, is it?
You get it, but you've got to get it really early.
Right. What are the symptoms? Do you remember?
Well, my brother had really bad stomach aches. He was diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome for a long time, and then they found out it was the actual cancer, which is terrible. And then once you've got it and it's taken over, it's it's pretty inevitable that you're going to die, sadly. Andrew was my rock. We'd been friends for 17 years, and we went through everything from breakups, heartache, laughter, tears, everything. Sorry, rambling again. Oh, we don't mind you rambling. It's good. I just want to say I found this podcast now so informative and helpful when you talk about anxiety, depression, happiness, self-appreciation. I've been in an extremely dark place, but would like to say thank you. I'm using the tips that you and your guests have given. Journals, downloaded Lovability, that's Robert Holden's book, allowing us to let myself grieve. I'm sure you get lots of emails. Just want to say thank you and keep the podcast coming. It's important, I think, to know that you need these feelings and you don't run away from them. When bad stuff happens to you, like deaths, breakup, losing jobs, you're supposed to feel a little bit shitty or even a lot shitty. And I think it's not a good idea to run away from those feelings. I think it's a good idea to actually sit there and go through them with the knowledge that it will pass. When my brother died, it was horrific. I woke up every day. Well, I didn't sleep most days, but when I did wake up, I used to think, oh, I'm in a horror movie. And then eventually, you're a human, it passes, and that's what eventually happens to you. But yeah, go through those feelings. That's what I think. But thank you for the email, Claire. Drew Povey, do you remember Drew Povey?
I do. It was very good. That was a great podcast.
What a great podcast that was. Had absolutely huge reaction.
Oh, man. People. I mean, I know we're going to get onto other podcasts that we've done more recently, but that was quite something. I hadn't seen, because I wasn't there at the time.
Yeah.
But I'd listened to it. I thought it was great. And then the reaction was extraordinary.
I'm going to read, there's so many on Drew. I'm going to read a few out here. I was worried about it, really worried.
Why?
Because I was being opinionated about something that I really don't know anything about. All I know is from the parents' point of view, you're sticking children in the school.
So then you do know about it.
Yeah, but I don't know about how the education system works.
But because your daughters have been through it twice and your younger daughter's going through it. And so,
but it's been a long time since I've been involved in education. I wasn't brilliant in education, which probably proves the point, actually. It didn't really suit me that well. I actually think I left school thinking I was pretty stupid.
I'm just waiting. No, I was going to leave.
The silence is deafening. That's your cue, Mark. I thought I left school thinking I was pretty stupid, Mark. And it wasn't until later on in life that I realised there is a brain in here somewhere. Anyway, listen, let me read some of these from you. This is from a teacher who loves their job. That's how they've finished it off, signed it off. Loved your podcast with Drew from Educating Manchester. I'm a primary teacher in Scotland. By no means our system is perfect, but I'm so thankful that I'm not English teacher. I'm not a teacher in England. Is it really that different, do you think? On at least a fortnightly basis, I listen to a rant from my sister's mum, who live in southern England, about my niece's nephew's education. You hit the nail on the head when you were talking about exams and league tables, ruining our children's happiness and putting unnecessary stress on everyone, schools, teachers, parents and pupils. Yeah, do you know what? I agree. It's school should, let me carry on. School should be an enjoyable first. That's what I think. As a teacher and a parent, I think the most important thing we can do is ensure our children enjoy their education. Yeah, that's what I agree. I don't care which reading scheme book my child is on or how many of their times tables they've memorized or whether they're in the triangles or squares maths group. Anyway, as long as their wee brains are being challenged in a variety of ways and they are happy and healthy, I'm happy. Keep up the good work. Currently on a maternal leave, and your podcast is almost keeping me awake at night during the feeds. Love Sunday brunch. Been a fan since Something for the Weekend days. Thank you very much. Yeah, school should be, that's my big thing about it. It should be fun. Fun first. If you make it so every kid wants to go to, this is just my theory, by the way, if you make it so every kid wants to go to school, so for me, I went to school because I like the football, find the bit where you find that the kids are enjoying themselves, actually I liked all the sport there, and then try and get them in there, get them to enjoy themselves, make it so people, they want to go to school, they don't want to bunk off, as it were. I think Drew, though, by the way, should be involved somehow with government. I don't know how, but I think they should get him in and have a chat with him.
Well, I mean, because we know that, I don't know, it's only a matter of time until you're prime minister. So maybe you could make him your minister for education.
Yeah, I would. Do you know what? They should definitely get him into chat, though. He took over the worst school. He's had a million opportunities to leave. He doesn't bother. And he just wants, he's engaged and he's invested in it. He knows what it is. Let's stop worrying about the top end, all the kids who get all the exams. And let's worry about the bottom end. That's the bit that's most important. My kids are doing all right at school. That's the thing. So, but still, it's worth worrying about the kids who don't want to go to school.
Hashtag vote Tim.
Vote Tim. Vote Tim. TV Tim, you've just nailed it. Just finishing listening to the Drew Povey podcast. Fantastic interview. Loved your passion. What an inspirational man he is. Just one request. When you get a sponsor, don't change a thing. Brilliant podcast. A long way from Tired Tim podcast. Well done. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
There's actually no hint of a sponsor at the moment. If you want to sponsor us, by all means, you can. We'll do anything for a bit of money. We'll change everything. No, passion. Passion is important, I think. Quickly on scores. My big thought process on it is, if you're at work, I work in the entertainment industry like yourself, Mark, and people aren't allowed to be stressed really in work anymore. If they get really stressed and they start crying all the time, or they don't want to come to work, you go to HR and you say, my boss is crap, or I'm not enjoying myself. Working conditions have to be good. It doesn't matter what level of work you're at. If your working conditions aren't good, you go and see someone, your union, your HR department or whatever, and you get your working conditions better. That is important. That's what we do. Yeah, as adults, our kids are put in that exam factory. They're punching in and out every day. I'm in an exam factory. I'm learning how to memorize facts. I'm not enjoying life. That's what I'm doing. Not for all children. Some children absolutely love it. There's some kids at my kids' school who absolutely adore maths, science. They want to be doctors and stuff. They adore it.
I wish I did when I was a kid.
So do I. I left school thinking I might be a bit stupid, Mark. Okay, this one comes, that was from Adrian. This one comes from Matt. Again, wow, an amazing podcast with Drew. I've listened to it multiple times and I pick up on points each time. Great listen. Now, this is the bit did you go to university, Mark?
For 4 months.
Okay, so you'd be interested in this. This is a bit out of my depth because I didn't go to university. I left school and I thought it was a bit stupid. Whilst listening, though, I couldn't help thinking about how, even though kids are pushed towards going to university and told it's what everyone should aim for, even if you do decide to go, it doesn't get any better. Despite a couple of incredible lecturers and tutors at university, I can't help but feel I'm only there paying £9,000 a year for tuition fees, there's living costs on top of that, to fund lecturers' research. Don't know enough about this, and that's how they see it too. Much of the time, I feel like an inconvenience to staff working at the university, and I know many of my friends at uni with me and across the country and other universities feel the same. Anyway, I've been meaning to email for a while, but this seems like the best opportunity. Okay, as a soon-to-be graduate, assuming everything goes to plan, what advice do you, Mark, and your listeners give me? A bit of background, if it helps. I'm 21 years old, based in Hull, UK City of Culture. I spent my third year on placement and have other work experience on top of that. I'm interested in marketing. Love listening to the podcast. It's given me a great idea for my own. Just need to execute.
Tell us.
Peace and love, Joy. Matt, that comes from Matt. Well, let's start with the university thing. I don't know enough about it. Mark, you went for 4 months, so you obviously got a vast knowledge of universities.
When
you were there, did you feel like you were just there for helping the lecturers?
Well, no, I felt...
Research.
I felt it was... It felt to me... it's difficult. I'm not going to say a waste of time, but it didn't feel like the right thing for me. It was... There was
what
so...
What were you studying then? Were you doing media?
Yeah.
Sorry, everyone who's doing media. I work in media, and I have no idea what the hell's going to go on in the future.
It's media and communication, but there was genuinely, I know this sounds like the opposite of what everyone says, there was so little work.
Really?
In four months, I did two like essays, and the rest of the time, you're just hanging around waiting or like reading, and I just thought, this is a massive waste of time and money. And my parents were helping me a little bit at the time.
Right.
And I was thinking, I'm wasting their money. So I came back at Christmas and just said, look, I'm going to leave. My mother specifically was mortified.
Again, I'm out of my depth.
But I was just going to quickly say that I didn't feel so bad about it. At the time that I was there, 4 months, two of my lecturers left. And I thought, well, if you're not interested, I certainly am not.
Why did they leave?
I don't know. I didn't ask them. They'd gone. I hope it wasn't me.
I don't know enough about it, as I say, kind of slightly out of my depth, but my kids, I assume, want to go to university.
Oh, they are, definitely.
But it seems to me that the right to university, which I agree with, seems to have changed into it's compulsory to go to university or you're a loser.
No.
I think it has, Mark. I think generally kids are thought, I go to school, I get my GCSEs, I get my A-levels, and then I go to university. Otherwise, I've not been part of the program. If you watch all the American things, get yourself to college, get yourself... We're just, you know, and that's a lot of our media. Everybody, if you're good, you go to school, you go to college. You go to... Hey, you go to school, you go to university.
I wish now what I'd done is done what I did when I was about 25, because I went back and did a sound engineering course and radio course. Yeah. And what I wish I'd done now is gone straight into those specific things, done those, and gone and got work experience straight out of the back of out of school.
Yeah, I've employed lots of people. I've never once cared whether they've gone to university or not. They've just got to be bright and have ideas, or just show willing. Basically, that's the main thing. However, whenever my friends say to me, my kid wants to get involved in media, what shall I do? They're saying they might not want to go to university. I always go, no, I think they should go to university. Because I don't want
to... So you don't have to find them a job.
No, not that at all. I just don't want it on my conscience that they didn't do university, right, and that I gave them that advice, because I just think like I believe red meat's bad for you in vast quantities, because that's how we've been, you know, I believe everyone should go to university. I'm not...
Still working off data from the 50s.
I can't... You know, I don't know enough about it. But anyway, my kids, if they said they didn't want to go to university, I wouldn't have a problem with it at all, as long as they had direction. And I keep on saying to them, try and find some direction. Write down a list of things you absolutely love. That's what I did. And once you find the thing you actually love, your dream job, then aim towards that, whatever that might be. Anyway, getting back to his question about work, how to do it. You want to work in marketing. What bit of marketing do you want? Find a company that you love who works in marketing, or a person you love. Ask for help. I've said this a load of times on this podcast, but it's really important. People love being asked for help. People like thinking they help people. So phone them up or write to them and say, can you help me? Don't ask for a job. Ask for help. Ask for help. Ask to come in. Ask to watch. Don't ask for work experience. Say, can I come and watch what you do and learn what you do? That's kind of work experience, but that's what you want to do. Say you're going to work for free. Don't demand anything, because you need to learn the job you want to do. That's how I started working in TV, learn what I wanted to do. Then become an asset. As I've always said this, always be the first in and last out and make everyone coffee. Once you're an asset, once you're helping the people, they like then having you about. And most importantly, become their friend. And if you're working hard on a marketing campaign, say you get in there and you're looking at it and you've got a huge great big party, your best mate's birthday party, choose the campaign over the birthday party. Focus on your job, focus on the game, make yourself invaluable. And that's when you find out what you love, your passions are. And then if there's somebody, just write to loads of people, get the help. And that is what I would do if you're trying to get a job. But by the way, you need to earn money as well. So get yourself a part-time job if you're doing that whilst you're looking, bar or something. Bev Hartley has written in to say, we're avid watchers of Educating Manchester last year, following the progress of school, its staff and pupils. They've signed up for a new series, haven't they? Did I read that on Twitter?
Have they?
Let me see. Let me. Does this count as Googling?
I mean, are you on Google?
Well, I'm going to go on to Twitter.
I haven't got a song for Ask Jeeves.
I just think Drew put it up on Twitter, didn't he, the other day? Let me just look. Hold on. Bear with me.
I'm lining the track up. I'm about to play it. If you don't hurry up, I'm going to make you listen to that song.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are delighted to announce Series 2. Oh, and Series 3 of Educating coming soon.
There we go.
Well done, Drew.
Friend of the show.
My husband was born and brought up in Warrington. Our children went to school there, and listening to Drew Povey, we knew his background was in the area. Anyway, I bought my husband the book for Christmas. He read it in 2 days. I haven't had time yet, but we'll get round to reading it. Today, I managed to get my husband to listen to his very first podcast, yours. He was hooked. Well done on an informative, enlightening and thought-provoking episode. When we started this podcast with Mark, the one conversation I had with Mark was, we were talking about all the people who listen to podcasts, and I said, do you know what? I don't really care about the people who listen to podcasts, because they already listen to podcasts and get it. I want to try and get people who don't listen to podcasts to listen to podcasts. I think that would be really nice. I think podcasts have given me so much pleasure.
Oh man, I can't tell you the hours.
Both with entertainment and education. If ever I'm struggling about anything, I just try and find a podcast on it.
Yeah.
And
it's like,
I like it.
I know what you mean. It's like, you know, when you can't do it. Yesterday, in fact, I had to do a thing on my guitar. I had to fix it. And you go straight to YouTube and you look up someone else who's done it. And it's like podcasts, exactly the same thing. Yeah. It's like the instructional video.
And this last paragraph is what I mean. Our youngest son has just started out on an educational ladder after obtaining his master's degree. Congratulations. I'll be sending him the book, and I've already messaged him to listen to the podcast. And that's there what I love. Go. I love it when people listen to podcasts. And that's not about me. That's about listening to Drew, because Drew is an inspiration, as I'm sure everybody's aware. Okay. Yeah, this is the last one, I think, on Drew, but really, this is from Mandy. Really enjoyed listening to this. I think you're spot on, Tim, with your views on education. What are they doing to our poor children? It starts with SATs in year six and doesn't stop. Kids are worrying themselves silly. Yes, they are. They are, because everyone's... my kids say, I've got one chance, Dad. I've got one chance. I mean, Christ, you're a teenager and you've got one chance. I keep going, no, it's not. It's nonsense. That exam's going to do nothing for your life. Don't worry about it. She goes on to say, education is not the be-all and end-all of life. Life is for living, and more enjoyment you get out of life, the better. Drew Povey is a true inspiration. We need more head teachers like him. Yes, life is for living. And the other problem with education is I say it's a huge competition amongst schools and teachers and pupils and everything, but also parents. Parents are judged on how well their children do as well. Do they call them helicopter parents?
I've never heard that. I have no idea.
Right, you can use the Google.
Here we go.
Because I'm going to Google this and see.
3, 2, 1.
Tim is Googling on the internet, looking for information to fill up his head.
Yeah, here we go. Helicopter parent. A helicopter parent is a parent who pays extremely close attention to a child or children's experiences and problems, particularly educational institution. Helicopter parents are so named because, like helicopters, they hover overhead, overseeing their child's life. Okay, don't become a helicopter parent. Let your kids live their own lives.
I like the etymology of that. That's
quite
funny.
Yeah, it's good. So, yeah, don't become one of those people. Let's go on to Vicky. Hey, guys. I'm playing catch up at the moment, and I'm in the middle of listening to episode 14.
Oh, that was... What was that one?
The one with the hair transplant. It didn't happen. I think that's my favourite of all the podcasts.
It was pretty good, wasn't it?
Because it's so... If you listen, it's better for me and probably Mark than you. I mean, you'll like it, but because we know me and we know what the situation was, and we know the panic that I was in, and my pupils, I reckon, were really dilated that day. I was like,
they were like pins.
I was in fight or flight. I could hear everything and feel and sense everything. You know, I could hear things a mile away. I have to admit, despite Tim's obvious distress, I was cracking up.
Don't worry, so was I.
As I was walking to catch my train, it was so funny. Oh, great, yeah. Let's all laugh at the popular guy for having a bad time, yeah? Let's do that, yeah?
Was that the same day that I got that? We had that really good day, because I got about 350 quid's worth of MacBook repair for free.
You did, yeah.
That was a great day.
Great day for you. It was so funny, especially the idea of Tim getting so hot that he'd take his jumper off. I think Mark gave great advice. I'm glad you took some time out to think about it properly. So, yeah, she's got more, which I'll go into in a minute. I'm really glad that I didn't go through with it. It's so important that I didn't. I wasn't in the right frame of mind. I wasn't in the right place at the time. And I'm not going to bother going into the reasons why I wanted to do it. But they had something to do with money. And I just don't want to go into it all at the moment.
How do you feel about it? How do you feel about the actual process now? Is it still something that's possible in the future?
I never say never. I like the idea of... I was looking at someone the other day, a celebrity. Who was it? And their head looked amazing, and they had the transplant. I quite like being aging, though. I think at the moment I'm enjoying the aging experience. I quite like it. It wasn't ever to do with that.
It's still looking all right.
It's to do with money and work and stuff like that. That's why I've got these confused ideas in my mind. But anyway, listen, if you're ever feeling a bit vulnerable, never do anything drastic. I think that's the key here. It will not help. As I said when I was with Robert Holden, that's a good podcast. Listen to that one. I've come up with a new theory, which is do nothing. I think I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast. Do nothing is the best advice ever, unless it's your tax return, as Mark pointed out.
31st of January.
But just sort of do nothing, but just enjoy life, because it's what it's about, isn't it? Living. That's the Buddhist proverb. That's what it's about.
Living without a G on the end. Living. Like a sort of Bon Jovi song.
Yeah, the actual Buddhist quote is, enjoy life, it's about living, innit? Something like that. But yeah, so be careful. Don't go and get a tattoo or sell your house or go, hey, I'm going to move to Bali because you're feeling a bit low. Settle, do nothing, wait it out. A bit like when you're going to go and buy something expensive, I say give it 30 days. Do the same if you're about to do something drastic and you're not feeling great. It's not going to make you feel better. You're just going to look back and go, why did I get that tattoo on my face? one of those. Tyson, he did that. They didn't make him feel better. No. they did make that movie where they got it done, which was, so it did have its value.
Hangover.
That's it. Now, you've just mentioned, she goes on to say, you've just mentioned, she's listening to the podcast, you went to a vegan shop too, which excited me greatly, as I've been a vegan now for 2.5 years. Oh, tell us what it's like. I'm on an all-meat diet at the moment. I'm sure I might go vegan next. I was slightly confused that you appeared to have butter in your coffee, though. I presume it's vegan butter. Lol.
That's really funny when people read that out.
I know it's unlikely you'll agree, but as the Buddhas say, if you don't ask, you don't get. That's because she asked us out for vegan lunch.
The Buddhists, not the Buddhas.
Mm. Anyway, right, best I get back to the rest of this episode. I think it was
coconut butter.
It was coconut butter, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. You were a fan.
It was just greasy coffee.
But have you tried it with dairy butter? Have you tried it with butter in it?
No.
It's delicious.
No.
I'm going to come around here and make it for you one day, and you're going to eat your words whilst you drink your coffee.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not... all right, I'll give it a go. I'm game for everything. I'll give it just normal butter, or do I have to get special butter?
No, just unsalted butter.
Is there some bloke flogging special butter?
Yeah, no,
to
there's
make
not.
A few
no.
quid.
I use Kerrygold, but yeah.
But is the bloke who invented the diet selling his own butter?
No, I expect he does, but it's cobbler's.
Okay. Just coconut oil, was it?
Coconut butter,
yeah. All right.
I think.
I've got loads of letters here. Let's keep going.
This is what I like about this, because it's our letters bag special, but it's also, it has a very sort of nice dash of ego corner in it, because everyone says...
Oh, this is just a big ego corner. Everyone's saying lovely things about us. I'm not sure I'm going to get through all these. I've got about another 15 to go.
Oh.
How much time have you got, listener? Strap in, because it's going to be a long one. Right, this comes from KTP. Just thought I'd say hi. Last week, a colleague recommended I listen to the Drew Povey podcast. Bloody loved it. And now a little bit addicted to the Dear Lovejoy podcast. I mainly listen to him driving to and from work and get loads of dodgy looks as I'm laughing and smiling to myself. Magic. I wonder where people listen to these. I think...
Tell us. We want to know. We always ask.
Commuting. I see people on the trains. They've got their podcasts on. If you're one of those people sitting on the tube or sitting on a bus... Because I do a lot now since I've lost my Vespa and I'm not getting another one. I'm on the tube a lot.
All right. When you're listening to this, email us or tweet Tim. I am listening to hashtag Dear Lovejoy, and then put where you're doing it. Then we can get an idea of where everyone's listening.
No. If you could do a bit of advertising for us, just shout out, Dear Lovejoy podcast is the best. Just do that now if you're on a train or a bus.
Do both.
Or in your car on your own. Dear Lovejoy podcast, it's the best. All listen to it. Tune in, iTunes, SoundCloud. What was it I tried to get you to say on the...
I'm bloody brilliant. You offered me £50.
And I went up higher than that. I went up to 100 quid.
Did you?
I'm bloody brilliant.
Do you know what? This week, I've got my tax due. I might do it this week.
Mark's still one of those people on the train who won't talk. Hello, I'm on the train, Tim. I'm on the train.
Because I think it's just unfeasibly rude when people have... The other day, I was listening to a woman who had a conversation on the phone she should have had in her own front room about...
What was it about?
About her son fighting in a borstal.
Oh, come on, that's good. Yeah, I mean, but, it's bad, but it's good. We watch TV shows.
And she was going, he wouldn't have hit the officer if... So he hit one of the guards or something if he wasn't standing up for someone else. And you think... I mean, this is all well and good, and it sounds like a horrible story, but have that conversation. She was having it loud.
Actually, borstal, you know, like child.
I've used an old-fashioned term, haven't I?
Yeah, does borstal still exist?
You know what I mean? Like a young offenders institute.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and I thought, have that at home.
Yeah. See, I think if they're talking about work stuff, so they're going, "Oh, mate, look, I've got the skip coming, and it's going to come, and you know, whatever." Or you get
those conversations are, if they are, "Look, I've got the skip coming. It's going to be there at 2. Okay, all right, I'm on train. Okay, bye, bye." Not, "Oh, hi. Oh, she's not. Oh, no, she's well. Thanks for asking. No, she's well. No, yeah, no. And how are you? How's Damien? Oh, he's well. Oh, good. And did you? How was the hot? Anything?
Why are you listening? Why?
Because you can't do anything else when they talk really loudly.
I do. Every now and then you do.
No, I don't. I have these giant headphones on.
Yeah, but every now and then you get a good one. You get someone who's clearly just broken up with their partner. Or
enjoying other people's pain, Tim, is not.
Well, then why do we watch all those TV shows then?
Because that's not real.
People like a bit of drama. I often want to say, it's when you see someone crying on the tube. Do you see this? Or the bus?
It's normally me.
Because there's how many people live in London? It's like 8 million, 8.4 million or something live in London. So when you're traveling around in public transport, you see everything all day long. So you see, I was always fascinated when you see labourers or whatever, all in their work gear, their muddy gear or their paint gear or something. They get the tube around. Obviously, it's a good idea. But, you know, it's kind of that thing I always think. You expect them to see them in a van, right? Don't you? With the tours and everything else. But they all get around there. And then you see, you see all sorts of things. You see people unhappy and you see people smiling to themselves and singing. You be talking to themselves. We all talk to ourselves, but some people start actually literally talking out loud rather than talking in their head. But every now and then you see someone crying and you just, I don't know about you, I just want to go, "What's happened?" I just so desperately want to say, "What's happened to you? Why are you crying?"
Well, I just ask, "Are you okay?" That would be better than, you know, looking for some juicy tidbits from their life. You've done two things there. You'll find out and you've shown her that a stranger cares.
What you think if you said to someone, "Are you okay?"
Well, it's better than going, "Why are you lot? Why are you crying?"
Yeah, but I wasn't going to do it like that. I was like,
yeah, but that's how it would come
in my
out.
Mind, I want to go, "What's happened?" But if you say to someone like that, "Are you okay?" Then they're going to say, "Yeah, I'm fine, thank you."
Yeah, but it will make them feel better that someone's asked, won't it? If you were crying on the tube,
I don't know the laws on the tube, Mark. Maybe you could let me know if you've been a person crying on a tube. Let's go back to a night we had out.
This is a radio phone in. Are you a tube crier? Let us know. 8, 10, 12 of the text.
Do you remember when you went through a stage where you were slightly helpless, and it was after a night out, and for some bizarre reason, your legs stopped working. Do you remember that?
Yeah, bad back, Tim.
Bad back, stroke, alcohol. And that woman tried to come and help you.
Yeah, that was really kind.
Oh, you didn't say that at the time. You said, I wanted her to go.
No, I didn't.
Oh, didn't you?
You've remembered that. Where's Julia, Dr. Julia when we need her?
Dr. Julia Shaw.
Where's her when we need her? That's a false memory. I was really grateful because I was a bit confused. I'd hurt my back and
on alcohol.
No, Tim. It was through enjoyment.
People have listened to these podcasts, Mark. They know what happened.
Shut up, Tim.
Go on. Anyway.
No.
So you liked it.
It was really helpful. Okay.
All right, because there's the laws of the tube, and we've discussed it before, and the laws of public transport is, you know, in this country, we try and, I mean, I try and speak to people, and I try and I'm always polite. And
sorry, I've just got, it was free booze, Tim.
It was free booze, but you didn't have to drink all of it.
They're only going to chuck it away.
And so, do you know, if you are crying, it means you're emotionally really in a bad way. A stranger just adds to that, doesn't it? Like you're going, "I feel terrible about myself. I'm crying," or "terrible about a situation." A strange kind. Maybe you're right, Mark. Maybe. Do you remember when I decided after Julius,
David Hamilton?
June Sapong came on. She said that she'd embraced some guy, and I decided to talk to somebody on the tube. Actually, it was before that because I'd read her book.
Yeah.
And I decided to, and then he wouldn't leave me alone. he just followed me all around the tube, drunk, talking to me. And it's like, so do you talk to people or not? I don't know the etiquette on that. I'm going to think about it. And on the next tube journey I take, which will be tomorrow, I will think about talking to more people and see what the reaction is. Right. Anyway, she goes on to say, "Today I'm listening, freezing my ass off, watching my daughter at her Saturday AM tennis lesson. Seemed a good idea in the summer. Brr. Love your Buddhist proverbs. They make me happy. Tim, love hearing you laugh. It's quite a girly laugh.
There we go.
That's
like
a girly laugh.
I did that.
I've just Googled your dreads and oops pic in your lucky pants. Lol.
That pick is mega lols.
On a serious note, I do agree with your more holistic approach to life and raising kids. Yeah, I'm not sure I'm good at raising kids, though. I've got my ideas.
You've done well. Don't beat yourself up.
Have you heard the famous Buddhist proverbs? Life is precious. Time is limited. Do what makes you happy. Sorry, I'm rambling on. Okay, Tim, I'm not trying to outdo you, but in October, I got rushed into hospital with, how do you say this? Corda equina. Disc eruption in my spine. Emergency op. Home for recovery.
She's so done you. She's
then
got a
got
better
rushed
story.
In again with a huge blood clot on my spine. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah,
no,
she beats you.
So I had to have another op. It was horrific, but I think from the sound of it, I was a much better moan-free patient. And recovery was a positive experience. I think that's the way. It's not what you see, it's the way you see it. It wasn't a life or death thing, but put lots of things in perspective for me. So she's going to the rehab, enjoying it. I'm going, oh, I hate this rehab.
Well, yeah, but she wasn't doing a podcast. Off
do you know
her
what,
face
though?
On drugs.
Do you know what? Talking of drugs, I've taken up another drug just recently.
Oh, I thought I saw the needles.
Because this knee is niggling. It should be healing, and it's not quite healing. There's a bloke at the school gates who said to me, "Have you tried CBD oil?" And I went, "No, what is CBD oil?" And it's marijuana oil, I think, or hemp oil. I don't know what the difference is. I don't know what it is. But anyway, it comes from that part of
You're druggy.
So I've started just taking a little, you put a little drop under. I looked online and it's the miracle cure. I don't know whether it's working. I'm not sure it is. If anyone's tried it out there, could they let me know if it's any good? I know it's good for stuff, I believe like arthritis.
Are you going to draw your dreadlocks back now?
I don't think it's killer. I don't think you can get high off it. That's for sure. It's not that bit. It hasn't got that bit in it. But CBD oil. I'm actually not sure. Is it illegal or legal over here?
I don't know. I've never heard of it, Tim.
You've heard of people taking that though, haven't you? Sort of
no.
Marijuana oil. You've not heard of it?
No.
God, people reckon it cures everything from all sorts of ailments, including cancer. I mean, they say it just starts knocking tumours back and stuff. Apparently, it's amazing. It just costs a lot. But I don't know that because the guy gave it to me, but apparently it costs a lot. I think it's... I'm not sure.
Yeah, cigarettes used to be good for you as well, though.
Back in the day, why?
I don't know. That was the marketing, wasn't it? That and Guinness.
Oh, yeah, Guinness. Guinness is good for you. Want to hear some pearls of wisdom, life hacks, things I didn't teach you at school?
Oh, yes, please.
TP Tim in the house. Life hacks, pearls of wisdom. Don't let life mug you off, mug.
Okay, Marcus sent me three words again. And do you know what? It's worked out really well this week, the three words, because they're really easy, all three of them. I've just got, they were just brilliant, immediate answers to them. First word is tired. And this is some advice that I learned over Christmas, so it's not mine. I heard it on a podcast, and I'm not sure which one, but I think it's brilliant. I've started doing it, and it has amazing results. So the advice is on tired. Get ready to go to bed before you go to bed. And it's amazing advice. So problem with a lot of people is you've had a hard day at work, where you're tired, and when you go to bed, you're tired, and you have to get ready for bed. And often you sit there going, I just can't be bothered to go to bed because I've got to clean my teeth and I've got to do all that sort of stuff. If you do it, say what time you go to bed. Say you're going to bed at 10 o'clock, Mark.
That's when I pretty much go to bed,
okay,
yeah.
So you get ready at 9 or even 8:30. So you get all your stuff ready. So you've cleaned your teeth, you've done all that sort of stuff, wash your face, whatever you do before you go to bed. Then all you have to do is climb into bed. So the task becomes not a big task anymore. It's not a 10-minute task or a 15-minute task. It's a 30-second task. Walk upstairs, get into bed, turn the light off. It is absolutely brilliant.
I don't understand this one. I know what you're saying, but to me, going to bed is the best bit of the day.
Okay, so you're tired, right? You're letting you're sleepy, you're a bit tired, you're watching some stuff on Netflix, whatever you're watching, and you're going, oh God, I'm absolutely exhausted.
Comedians and cars getting coffee at the moment.
Okay, and it's like, oh, just finish this, and it's like rolling, it's like 5 to 10, you think, oh God, I'm so tired. You wander upstairs, and then you brush your teeth. You put mint in your mouth, and then you start brushing, and you wash your mouth, and then you think, oh, I better wash my face because that's what clean people do at night. And you put water on your face, and then you get to bed, and you're wide awake, and think, well, I might as well watch another episode of Comedians in Cars, and you go back to the telly and start watching it. We do it the wrong way. If you're feeling tired, you want to just hop in. I promise you, this is amazing advice.
Just try it.
And another thing you can do, right, and this is especially if you're one of the snackers out there, like a little bit of a snack at night, what you do is you do it at, say, what time you eat? 7?
Yeah.
So you clean your teeth at 8 o'clock. Right, you splash your water, you clean your teeth at 8, you're getting your gym jams or whatever you're going to wear in bed if you want to. You come down and you watch your TV, but you've cleaned your teeth then. So you think, I've got to clean my teeth again. Just have a little bit of chocolate. Oh, yeah. What do you have? Oh, just have a banana or something. You think, I can't be bothered to clean my teeth again. So you just don't do it. It's honestly, try it. Will you try it for me, Mark?
I promise, Tim, I will try it.
Just try it at 9 o'clock.
I will put on my sleeping thong. And I will clean my teeth.
Get ready to go to bed before you go to bed. Next word, bag. Now, I like this because, again, I heard this phrase not so long ago. I read and listen to so much stuff. It's unbelievable. I never remember where any of it comes from. But I like it, and I don't really know what it means, but I'm going to try and do it. So,
what you're going to try and do is crowbar it into this word is what you're going to do, isn't it?
No, because it contains the word. Right, let me do it, and then I'll talk you through it. I'm laughing already. I love this, by the way. I'm not.
Come on.
I do really like it, but it might not mean anything to you.
Come on, you're leaving us.
It means a lot to me.
Should we do this as two parts?
Take a man's pockets away and he'll need a bag.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. And I really like that. I don't know, but I read it somewhere, and it's really humoured me that the idea that as a man, apologies, this next bit might be a bit sexist, but as a man, we generally
male centric. It's not sexist. It's male centric.
Well, I might get a bit sexist in a minute. But as a man, we generally don't have bags with us. We don't need it because we got pockets. We'll have a pocket. We've got four pockets on our trousers. And then if you go for the sort of, what do you call those, combat idea or something like that.
Cargo.
Yeah, you might have some down your legs as well. It might be up to six pockets. You're also going to wear
coat.
Coat. And that will have probably a couple of pockets in it. So you're blessed with lots of pockets being a man. And I think what it means is if you take away a man's pockets, be careful what you do, because if you change something, then there'll be a reaction to it. That's what I always get from it, because it's always amused me. So if you take away something, then there'll be a reaction to it, is the way I see it. So be careful if you take away a man's pockets, because then he'll need a bag. And then if men need... So you get a better line on the... It's better in my mind, but I can't actually articulate.
Well, that's great, because this is purely an audio medium. So
you can have a better silhouette if you don't have pockets. Your clothes will have a better silhouette, which is why...
I don't think that's what that means, Tim.
But so you take away the pockets, but then you're going to need a bag because you can't... You have all the stuff you need to keep, you don't. It's getting away from that slightly, though. Isn't it weird that men ended up with pockets and women didn't end up with pockets? Women had silhouettes, so they had nice line of dress or nice line of skirt. That's a bit where I might be getting sexist. And they had nice lines of jackets. And if you ever go to a woman's jacket and it's like a jacket they're going to wear out, these pockets are all sewn up, so they have nice lines, nice silhouettes. It's all about that. Whereas men, and so then they need a bag, and a bag's expensive, and they always need their handbags. And some girls, they have a lot of bags and something like that. So it's weird how it's worked out. If they'd initially gone, let's give women pockets, so they had a dress, but they had pockets.
What's the next one, Tim?
Then they wouldn't need a bag, and the whole bag industry wouldn't be as popular.
You're
as it
really
is now.
Going to need to save this item with the third pearl of wisdom.
Have you watched The Queen? The Crown.
Yes, I have. I recommended it to you.
Oh yeah. Okay. So the Queen walks around, and I think this is true. And everywhere she is, she's got a bag. Now, if her designers have put pockets everywhere, she wouldn't need the bag. And so the pocket and the bag thing is very male dominated. The pockets are very male dominated, and the bag's very woman dominated, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, the expression. If I just go back one more time, just so people can grasp.
I know. I mean, I'd love to understand this bit because I'm lost.
Take a man's pockets away and he'll need a bag. And it's about change.
You don't know what it's about, do you? What change? Pocket change.
In my mind, I love it because it just I just envisage my life without pockets.
And I think, you don't need to cut something else out of your life, Tim. Just make your life easier.
No, I don't want to because then I would need a bag. And then I think to myself, I got a pair of trousers recently and they didn't have any back pockets. I was like, oh, this is a bit strange. Where do I put my stuff? You know, it's all in the front pocket.
Wow, this is a... This is a low point of the podcast.
No, it's not. I think what I'm trying to say there from the word bag is be careful what you change. Think of the consequences. Take a man's pockets away and they only
get back. No, I don't think it is. Yes. What's number three, Tim?
Anger was number three. Okay, and again, this is good.
This might actually be useful after that second one.
I've actually stolen this one as well, but I love it. And this is, I've started doing this a long time ago, but this expression sort of, I've changed it a bit, but this sort of sums it up. Every time you take a deep breath and you maintain your temper, your superpowers increase. And
don't say that again.
Every time you take a deep breath and maintain your temper, your superpowers increase. And there was Stephen Peters wrote the book, The Chimp Paradox. And I was a real, I literally, I'm not proud of this, but I got out of my car once, road rage, traffic lights, banged on the guy's windows and went, shouting and screaming.
How long ago was this? Were you TV Tim at the time?
Yeah.
So TV.
Honestly, it was only about 6 years ago or something.
Tim 62 in.
It was honestly, I banged on the door and I was like going window, and I just thought, wow, I want to fight you sort of thing. And I'm not really a violent person or an aggressive person. And like there was this moment where I got back in the car and I felt really stupid. And then there's another time a guy had road rage with me. And I joined in with it for all the rage, you know, it's all the rage, road rage. And he had kids in the car and I thought, Christ, mate, that's terrific. You're doing that with kids in the car. So I wouldn't road rage with kids in the car because that's a really horrible thing to do. And kids, bizarrely, make you calm your temper a bit because you think, oh, I better not lose my temper with a kid in the car. But when I read Stephen Peters' Chimp Paradox, he sort of explained that if you just wait a few minutes and let the chimp go, then you'll feel better about it. And so I started doing that and it kind of it's now an amazing feeling because at the time you feel like a loser.
Yeah.
You're not joining in. You're not fighting. All you're doing is you're going, right, I'm just going to maintain it. Someone's shouting at you. They're doing V signs. They're doing whatever they're doing. And you're just going, I don't care. You can do what you want. I really don't mind. I'm just not going to engage in it. And you feel like a square. You feel like a loser. You feel like this person's threatening you. But sometime later, it could be 5 minutes. It could be an hour. It could be literally a day, 2 days, a week. You go, wow, how cool was I? That person lost their temper. And I did nothing. I was just so calm. I actually did nothing. My superpowers are growing. Superpowers are growing. Get me a cape.
But there's the opposite thing, isn't it?
Road rage.
There's the opposite thing, isn't there? The French call esprit d'escalier, isn't there? Have you heard of this?
No, what is that?
That's called the spirit of the stairs. And that means the spirit of the stairs. And what it means is it's the thing you wish you'd said. So, like, you know, it basically means like when you're going, you know, when you have an argument with someone and you go up the stairs and you go, oh, why didn't I say that?
Because you never, ever win with anything. The only ever way you win is by saying nothing, doing nothing.
Okay.
That's how your superpower.
So you're saying all French people are wrong. Okay. Tim.
I'm saying
so you've been sexist.
I'm saying on this one occasion, I like the French, but on this one occasion, they are talking. They're talking nonsense because it's the power comes in doing nothing. The only place for anger, it only has one use, and that's if you've got to fight your way out of a bar. It's better to be angry to do it. You're stuck in the corner of the bar. You've got to fight your way out. You've got to turn yourself angry. Otherwise, you're not going to get yourself out of there. But never get yourself in that situation in the first place. And the reason why, the way you don't get yourself in that situation in the first place is by doing nothing, saying nothing, increase your superpowers. That, Mark, is how you do it. You like that one?
That was a good one, yes. Yes, well done, Tim. That certainly sort of saved that little segment of the podcast.
Thank you very much. If you do have a pearl of wisdom or you want to write to us, the email address is dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com. Okay, let's move on to talking about a recent podcast we've done. This is from Nick, and it probably is one of our most popular. Well, for feedback, anyway, at least it's most popular. Is we had a podcast with Helen Chamberlain from Soccer AM. People loved it, and I've got so much feedback here. I don't know how many of these I'll get through, but I'll read a few of them. Hi, Tim and Mark. Just wanted to thank you all, Tim and Helen, so much for the latest Dear Lovejoy podcast. I was at Soccer AM not back in the day. Still have the Save Chip stickers. Don't let Sarah win. Listen to you chatting as old friends is absolutely fascinating. I vividly remember a lot of your memories and was in hysterics listening to all those stories, especially about how Tubes came to be. I always remember the first time he came on thinking, what the F was that? It was brilliant insight into how the show evolved along with the footballing landscape over the years. Just watching it as a fan. Yeah, football did change, really did change. And I think that was the thing I enjoyed most about it. It reminded me how much it's changed.
According to my cousin Colin, you changed football.
I invented football.
No, reinvented football. That was his phrase.
Oh, dear.
When he found out I was working with you, he said, oh, Tim Lovejoy, yeah, I think he reinvented football.
Oh, absolutely not.
Come, Tim.
I never considered how you had to adapt to the ever-changing machine that is the Premier League. Your description of the team coming together as perfect storm was very apt, etc. He said, just a bunch of normal guys and girls doing their stuff made them laugh and made us laugh too. It's really interesting because... talking to Helen really did make me realise how much the football industry had changed. I knew it had changed, but I'd forgotten to the extent and how sort of roast into classes here, but how charming it used to be to now. It's like this is just a huge industry that keeps Sky Sports alive and BT Sports alive, and the whoever is buying into it in the Premier League and all their vast profits. And the other thing which changed dramatically, I think, during the time was that it used to be sort of about the team, and then it became about the player.
Right.
I think that was a real different thing, and I think that was invented by Nike with Michael Jordan in probably the 80s, where they put all their money into one player. And I remember someone telling me who worked in one of those companies said, the team is dead. It's all about the player. So rather than, there was a time when Nike invested in the Brazil team, do you remember? And they still sponsor the shirts and everything, but they put all their big spend into the individual player now. And so when you get to a World Cup or something, you see when the World Cup comes around this year, what they do is they get all their players, they sponsor Nike will, Adidas will, Puma will, et cetera, and what they do is they put them and they get them to play against aliens or baddies or something. And they all play in their kits, but they play against people because they can't play against each other now because they haven't sponsored the team. So they have to try and get them all together. Or they're all in what did they do? It was the Brazil team who was in the airport or something. But it became very much about an individual. And I remember one of the things which...
Which very much goes along with Will's Storrs book.
Yeah,
that's
selfie.
About that same time, isn't it?
So there's been some strange things which happened in football. I think Sol Campbell moving from being captain of Spurs and moving to the big rivals, Arsenal, was a really strange thing that happened. Football, I think that's kind of a weird time. I think Suarez was really weird. And the Suarez thing, which was weird, because I think Liverpool's a huge football club because I grew up in the 70s and 80s, so they were absolutely massive. And for Suarez to say, I need sort of a bigger experience than Liverpool Football Club, to me just didn't sit right, especially as they're stuck up from through racism and
biting, and elbowing
disputes. Yeah, and all that sort of stuff, and they'd all stuck by him. They even wore t-shirts once in training with his face on and stuff like that, and then he gets off his ban and stuff and goes, well, I'm off to Barcelona. And it's like, what, you're being paid 100 grand and you can't show some loyalty to that club? It was a really strange time, but it wasn't the fact that he did it, because I don't blame him for doing it. It's up to him what he wants to do if he wants to go to Barcelona. It was the fact that not only did all the fans go, yeah, I suppose that's all right, that all the commentators go, yeah, he needs Champions League football. Yeah, what do you mean he needs Champions League football? Is it, to me, that was just
nonsense. It's the Suarez paradox, because if he'd have stayed with Liverpool, he'd have got Champions League football with Liverpool.
And Suarez he's so good, that player. Now he's just, he's good.
I watched the Barcelona game last week. He's so good still.
He is so good, but he's playing alongside Messi, and he was playing alongside Neymar and all that. So he looks good, but doesn't look... Liverpool, when he was in the Premier League, he was outstanding.
He's best player in the league.
He was unbelievable. He nearly won Liverpool the league.
Yeah.
he was so good that so many men had to come out of Mark. He was an unbelievable player. And I just think it's such a shame. And that sort of, so rose tinted glasses may be, but it did change a lot. Well, look, I'm trying to get all the guys together and we're going to try and do another podcast.
We were talking about the logistics of that stay, weren't we?
Yeah, we need a lot of mics. Les, dear Tim, this is from Les. That was from Nick, by the way. This one from Les. I'm an avid viewer of Soccer AM. During the spell you guys presented it, I was curious about these podcasts despite not listening to the early editions. No particular reason, just not something I generally do. See, there's another one. Come on, come aboard, listen to podcasts. I have to say I really enjoy both parts. Thank you for both being open, entertaining and informative. I'd like to say that the idea of getting the whole team together gets a big thumbs up from me. Well, as I say, I'm trying to do it. They've all been basically texting me and emailing me going, you got that wrong, you got that. I did 11 years, 42 shows, and they're texting me going, you got that bit wrong, or what about that bit, what about that? I'm like, yeah, how the hell am I supposed to remember that? When we all get together, it's just going to be like, it'll be good because memories will come flooding through. So, I mean, Helen and I...
It's going to be a producer's nightmare.
Well, as Helen and I said the other... Mark was here. We spoke for at least another hour afterwards.
Easily.
And we could have gone on for a day or so. This comes from Scott. What a great episode with Helen as a youngster growing up with Soccer AM at its peak. That was a great insight for me. I'm sure another one with Helen and the boys would go down a storm. Surely must be later in the year. Good luck. I've got so many of these. I've got to flick through them, actually, and see which ones I can find. I've just been listening. This comes from Phil. Just been listening to Helen Channing podcast. Wanted to send a quick email to say that I thought it was a really interesting, funny episode. Like most blokes, I watch soccer and religiously. Loads of women did as well, though. As Helen said, they used to come up all the time and go, don't really like football, but I like your show. That was one of the really interesting bits we spoke about in it. We were trying to make it an entertainment show. We weren't trying to make it just for anyone. It was for anyone, even if they didn't like football.
It's exactly the thing with Kermode and Mayo, because Kermode always goes on about how Jaws isn't really about sharks.
Oh, right. What's it about?
Well, I don't know, but it's everything but the shark. And the same with their podcast is everything but films. They talk about films, but it's about everything else as well. And I think that's the same with, Top Gear was like that as well, wasn't it? It was everything in cars.
Yeah.
I think Soccer AM was instrumental in that, I think.
Yeah. I do agree with them about the Mayo podcast as well.
Kermode and Mayo. Yeah,
what's it called? Is it called Kermode and Mayo?
Yeah, and Wittertainment.
There's often isn't about films.
No, it's fantastic.
So you don't have to actually watch the films to get engaged.
No, absolutely not.
So, that's why I quite enjoy it. Yeah. This one comes from Mark. Firstly, this is the first ever email or any form of feedback I've ever given. And that is one of the strongest sentences.
Go on, say that again. I was itching my eye.
Firstly, this is the first ever email or any form of feedback that I've ever given.
There we go.
Do you know what? That's so important because I've never done any feedback in my life ever. I even struggle with Uber. I struggle when I go.
Even have to rate them?
Yeah.
I just press 5 stars.
I just it comes on. I'm like, really? And when you're on an app and it goes, will you rate us? Like, oh, God, really? I have to get involved in that.
Rate the driver, though.
Rate the Uber driver.
Yeah, then they can keep their jobs, can't they? And everyone's happy.
But yeah, but the idea is to rate them properly, Mark, so you get rid of the rubbish ones. That's the idea. So,
oh, yeah, I mean,
So it basically should be 5 stars for everyone.
Yeah, and then start at 5.
And then, one for, yeah, okay, all right, I'll start doing that. But it's like any award ceremony or any of those voting things. I've never voted ever, so it's just really strange. Like, I watch those TV shows and I go,
who votes for this?
I don't. I think he shouldn't have gone. I thought, did I vote? No. She shouldn't be winning or she shouldn't be gone or whatever. And I'm like, should I be voting for this? Yes, I should if I want to comment on it. And I've only voted for or given feedback to the to politics, basically, which I have given my feedback to before. And obviously, I always vote. Hey, by the way, have you watched Dancing on Ice?
I've seen an episode.
It's incredible. I tell you why it's incredible. Right. Because it's rating really highly. I've only watched one of them. But it's rating real. Oh, no, I've watched one and then I watched another bit. It's unbelievable, that show. Because the guy's right. So you've got someone like Lamar. And he's basically trying his hardest to go around the ice. And he's got like this. The dance world needs to be shut down immediately because it's very sexist because the man leads, okay? So that's a joke, by the way. But the on Dancing on Ice, the man will always lead and he has to do lifts. You don't get the woman doing lifts with the mam. So what happens? It should be two. It should be two separate competitions, because what you've got is you've got the man, like Lamar or something. He's basically just trying to stay on his feet. We've all been ice skating. We all know how blooming hard it is to stay.
Remember Todd Carty.
You Todd Carty's brother.
I wish you'd never show that to me.
Todd Carty's brother. But we all remember, like, you start ice skating, you're just swimming around the edge, aren't you? In the falling over and, you know, and all that sort of stuff. And then when I was a kid, you didn't even have penguins to hold on to. So you're busy doing it. What happens is the man comes out and he goes skating around and he's really struggling. The woman comes out. The bloke starts picking her up. She looks at me, throwing her around her shoulder, up and down.
But she's got to land. That's hard.
No, they land them because they put them down.
Yeah, but that's still... Okay, I'll pick you up and put you down on ice and see if you don't...
They do half the routine in the air. Ice skating means that stupid blade you're on has to be contact with
blade.
Well, the blade has to be on contact with the ice, and no one ever goes. You never hear people
you should do dancing on ice.
It's madness.
So, anyway, what have you signed up for this year?
Oh, I'm all.
Oh, all of them?
Done deal on them all, yeah.
Cool.
Anyway, this comes from Mark. Firstly, it's the first ever email or any form of feedback I've ever given. Thank you very much. And that means a lot to me, that does, because, as I say, I'm one of those people. I'm a lurker, as they call on the internet. I look at everything, I read everything, I never join in. I'm just a lurker. Just a quick note to say how great the podcast is. Having only recently found the podcast world up to now, I've handpicked ones of yours and of either people I know or like, etc. By now, I pretty much enjoy all of them. No, you won't. There's some real wrong ones.
The first few are pretty ropey, aren't
some
they?
Real stinkers along the way. Really, they are. But
have you got any memorable low points?
We can't. I just can't be bothered to take them down, but there's some real stinkers. Today was brilliant as I listened to both episodes of Hell's Bells, and although it was cut into two, it still left me wanting more. Would love Sheephead, Venos and the rest of the game to get together around your instant hot water tap for a bumper 4-episode podcast. Mark and I discussed this before the show. If we do get all the boys together, what we'll do is we'll record for about 3 hours or something. We'll just have hot tea going, and then we'll cut.
I think you should do one of your chilies.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'll make a big chili.
Big pot of chili. Yeah, I have to say, chili. For listeners, Tim does a very, very good chili.
Yeah, I did steal it off Simon Rimmer, though.
That's all right. Yeah, but you still got to redo it, haven't you?
Anyway, P.S., I did have a Twitter chat with Tim ages ago where I said tennis would be improved if they only had one serve, and I still think I'm right. That's an interesting theory. I always wanted to do a show, Mark, called Fantasy Sport, and it's... The idea is that people's...
Oh,
who's at the door?
Go off you go. You better answer it.
Who's at the door? Pause. We'll find out who's... It's back to that competition.
There's somebody at the door.
the one that all the world talked about last time it happened. There's somebody at the door. We're going to find out who it is.
It was a postman last... No, it was a postman the first time, and then it was the guy who came to fix
the lightning broke. Right, we're going to find out.
Oh, shut up.
We're back. So, who was at the door? Was it the postman? No. Was it the man to fix the light? No, it wasn't him. It was author Mark Forsyth, who came along to do a podcast.
He didn't just pop in.
No. we did have him booked in. I just lost all track of time because I was banging on. But he'd come to do A Short History of Drunkenness is his book. So he did a whole podcast about that, which Mark enjoyed thoroughly. So we're a couple of hours later finishing off this podcast. You did enjoy that, didn't you?
That was
podcast?
Absolutely brilliant. I look forward to that one. It's really, really interesting. And it involves, as I say in the podcast, it involves drunk monkeys. How can you not like that podcast?
It does involve drunk monkeys. So let's finish this one off, though. So we were talking to... I was reading out an email from Mark, and he'd ended it with by saying, I don't know where I got to, so I'll carry on. And he said, P.S., I did a Twitter chat with Tim ages ago where I said tennis would be improved if they only had one serve, and I still think I'm right. Now, that would move the emphasis to the receiver being in a more advantageous position, I feel, because you would have to slow down the first serve dramatically, and the returns of these guys is phenomenal. And I think percentage-wise, the receiver would be winning more of the games if the guy had served, I believe. But I came up with this idea ages ago, and I pitched it to Sky, and they wouldn't do it. And I thought it would be absolutely brilliant, which was called Fantasy Sport. And the idea of it was, is we try all these things out. So you get a couple of really good tennis players who are of a good level, and then you just go down to one serve and actually see what happened to it. Other things that I came up with in fantasy sport, if you've got any ideas, you can write in. But the other ones I had were get rid of the offside law in football. Everyone always talks about it. They always say, what would happen? Just try it. Get two pretty decent teams.
But they tried it before they had it, and it obviously was rubbish, so they brought offside.
Games moved on dramatically.
Well, yeah, but you just have Luis Suarez standing in the six-yard box.
And what's wrong with that?
Well, it's just...
How do you know? That's what I'm saying. How do you know that's what he'll do?
Don't shout at me, Tim. This is a discussion, not an argument.
This is why it's such a good TV show, though, because it gets heated. So how do you know? Because possession seems to be king often. And so would you just go, okay, I'll keep possession? It would open the game out dramatically because there wouldn't be... Or would it? How would they? You get two good managers as well. So you'd get, I don't know, Jose Mourinho, who's interesting with these sort of things. Who's another sort of bloke who likes to think about tactics and whatever else? Pep Guardiola or someone. You get him and you get the two of them. You get their reserve teams and say, let's play out a game without offside. What are you going to do? Be fascinating. How about this? Put more people on a cricket pitch, right? So you make it 21 aside. Okay, so it's even harder to hit the boundaries. It's harder to get a run. There's more people on the field. It would liven the game up.
Please don't touch cricket.
Just to try it. It doesn't matter.
Don't
just try it.
Mess up cricket.
20 people on the pitch.
It's perfect.
Make it easier for people to get out. How about this one? Golf, either less holes, though it is 18 holes now, but make the holes a lot bigger.
What are we talking, like crater?
Size of a football. So it's not so much about the putting. Most idiots be able to put it in. It's about getting on the green. Changes the dynamics of the game a lot, but might make it more...
Everyone's aiming for the green anyway. You don't aim for a bunker, do you? You aim for the green.
No, it's just going to make it shorter. You can aim at the holes.
And then anyone can play, and then the best players won't look better.
The thing is, you say anybody can play. The sport is in huge decline at the moment, as you possibly know. They're selling less memberships at golf clubs.
Velcro darts?
Not Velcro darts. I wonder if you can improve darts. I'm not saying any of these will improve it, by the way. I don't think getting rid of the offside law would improve the game. But let's try it. It's just a good idea for a TV show.
Netball with a medicine ball.
It's a good idea for a TV show.
Monkey Dennis.
All right. You're going all Alan Partridge there. Clearly, that's why you've never worked in television, Mark. Because you
don't, I have, thank you.
Because you don't understand the laws of it. But listen, if you've got any ideas of how to... I'd love it if you had a little thought process. How do I improve this sport? And then you go, okay, without any jokes or like, oh, let's sharpen the tips of the fencing. If you've got a good idea, send it in. And I just think it'd be good. I'd go and pitch it again and say,
I know how you could improve football.
How?
Take the money out of it.
I think we should be allowed to, I genuinely think that you should be able to, I don't think you should be able to tackle from behind. I think that's good. But I do think you should be allowed to go for the ball still and make the tackle, even if you take out the guy as well. And do that, you know that thing you do with your hands, I'm making the sign of the ball. That's gone now from the game, but the universal sign of I've got the ball, I got the ball, I got the ball. And I think that would be a good one because they've now got intent, haven't they? But listen, that's my idea, fantasy sport. If you like the idea of that, let us know. You can contact us. We've come to the end of this podcast at Tim Lovejoy on Twitter. DearLovejoyPodcast@gmail.com is the email address. You can subscribe to us, rate us 5 stars. You can leave a comment. But we will see you all very shortly. For the time being, peace and love, Joy.
Bye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.